As a 17-year-old, Angie sat in the parking lot of an abortion clinic while a life hung in the balance.
But this teeny, tiny, smallest part of my soul wouldn't let me open that door. It was like all the power that I had in my hand was gone, and I couldn't get out of the car. And this whole time, my friend is crowding me with all of these negative things and just saying it in my ear, and so I would believe all of these things, you know, because they were all true. And so I couldn't sit here and argue and say, yes, I could take care of the baby.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, January 21st. Today's Revive Our Hearts isn't appropriate for younger children, and you'll want to get them involved somewhere else. Here's some of what we heard last week from a young woman named Angie.
I dove straight into drugs and alcohol deeper than I already had been. Started selling drugs to make more money to buy drugs. Did ecstasy like it was going out of style, and that's a very dangerous drug. And that's the kind of pill people say that makes it go away. And you're happy. And I used to think if everyone in the world was on ecstasy, everyone would be happy. But you know, after it's gone and over, you go on this intense, low feeling. Because when you feel really good and then you feel the opposite, it's like, and that causes depression and all of those things. And so I just dove in real deep to alcohol and drugs. And I tried to cast away everything that made me feel anything. And I detached myself emotionally from everyone and everything. This guy, he had hung around my circle. You know, we hung out with guys and girls and it was mixed. And he was very charming and he had a great smile and he was so nice. And he listened, and that was his avenue to earn my trust, because you didn't just get it, because I wasn't that kind of girl anymore. And so as our relationship progressed, he never wanted sex from me. He never wanted drugs. He never wanted anything but my attention. And so I started thinking in my mind, maybe this isn't a good way to be. Maybe it is possible, you know. And so he asked me if I would date him, and I said yes. And he waited. He didn't want to have sex right away, and I thought that that was admirable. So he waited a whole 2 weeks, which seemed so long to me, because other guys, I'm not going to date you unless you have sex with me first, you know. So we dated for 2 weeks, and then we had sex. Everything was fine. I felt good about my life, and that seems funny because I didn't have a place to live. I had no job, no car, no license. I was 16 years old with absolutely nothing. Dropped out of high school, lost contact with a very important person in my life, my grandmother. And my parents were doing their own thing. And here I was with this guy that I knew loved me with all of his heart, and we were going to be married, and you know, and he didn't have a job or a car or a license, and he did just as many drugs as I did, and he dropped out of school as well, and so here we are on top of the world. 2 months after we were dating, I had my very close friend. It was my best friend, and she was with this guy. She wanted so badly to be pregnant because he kept leaving her. And she was like, if I just have a baby, he'll stay. So she was like, I think I'm pregnant. Let's go get a pregnancy test. And so it was kind of like a moral support thing. I was like, I'll get one too, you know. And so we went to the health clinic, you know, and we were sitting there. And we went and did the whole duty. And we came back and we were in the waiting room giggling and laughing. And then I was reading Cosmo and, you know, whatever. And so the woman comes out, and she brings us both back into the room together because we were together and it was fine. She gave us these little pieces of paper. She handed them both to us, and she said, congratulations. And she looked at me. And I looked at her eyes, and I just laughed. I was like, you got the wrong paper. And I grabbed my friend's paper and gave her mine. And she goes, no, honey, you're pregnant. And at that moment, I just felt tears stream down my face. I didn't want to have a baby. I didn't want to hear anything anybody had to say. I was looking at my friend like, let's go. And of course, she was disappointed because she wanted the paper that I had. And I was the one that was pregnant and she wasn't.
Here's Nancy with the next part of Angie's story.
Angie, thank you so much for telling us your story. I know it's going to bring hope and grace to many other lives. And you are just a gem, a trophy of God's grace. As we listen to that story, we hear that it is all of God. So thank you for being willing to share what God has done in your life.
Praise God.
And we haven't got to that point yet, but we are going to, Lord willing, today. We thought this might be a one-day program, but it's ended up being several days, and I'm so thankful that you have been willing to come and share it with us. When we left you, you were on your 17th birthday. You had gone with a friend who hoped that she might be pregnant so she could get her boyfriend to stay with her to see if she was pregnant. She'd gone to some sort of health clinic to get a pregnancy test, and just kind of on a lark or to be her friend, you decided to get one too. And then the report came back. She wasn't pregnant, but you were. And it was hard to believe. That's the last thing that you expected when you walked in that clinic that day. What kind of conversation did you and your friend have at that point?
I felt unbelieving. I felt, you know, not that I thought it would be a blessing by any means, but I didn't believe it because I thought I was invincible because I had birth control. And so when the woman told me, I switched the papers because I didn't believe it. I was unbelieving, you know. I'm sitting in, we walked out into her car. And the whole way from that room all the way to her car and in her car, you know, she was filled with, I think, a lot of anger and jealousy because she wanted the child that I was pregnant with, you know, essentially. You know, she said things like, you know, you shouldn't do this. You're not ready for a baby. Do you know what pregnancy does to your body? You can't even take care of yourself. You can't possibly take care of a baby. There's no one helping you. And I agreed with everything she said.
She was right.
Because a lot of times when Satan speaks to us, he's not telling lies. It's the truth. I was alone. I was hopeless. I had no job, no income, no survival method. And so what she was saying was true. And I felt hopeless and I gave up and I said, fine, well, what's your suggestion? My best friend, you know. And she said, I have a place. And so we drove, and she's reassuring me that this is the right choice, you know, what we're going to do, and this is the best for you. And, you know, just think about it. You're going to keep your boyfriend now, because if you told him you were pregnant, sister, he'd be gone. You know, everybody, no, guys don't want babies. They want fun and partying, and they don't want babies, you know, and so that kept ringing in my head. And so she pulled up in front of this kind of antique house. And we were sitting there, and she said, this is an abortion clinic, and I've been here, because she had an abortion. And she said, they're really nice in there, and this one lady, she even gives you some water with a lemon in it, you know, and like trying to reassure me and comfort me that this would be okay. And she really wanted me to abort the baby, and in my mind, it seemed logical, but in my heart, there was something in my heart that I just can't describe it. I know now that it was the Lord. I know now that God was there declaring his promises to me before I could even understand his voice or recognize his face. It was like everything in me wanted to give this child up, to kill the baby inside of me. It wasn't even a baby. My friend reassured me that it wasn't even formed yet. And everything in me, that was the good choice. I mean, logically, it made sense. I would keep my boyfriend. I couldn't afford it anyways. It'd be bad for the child. What would it grow up to be like? But this teeny, tiny, smallest part of my soul wouldn't let me open that door. I even had my hand on the handle, and I couldn't open it. It was like all the power that I had in my hand was gone, and I couldn't get out of the car. And this whole time, my friend is crowding me with all of these negative things and just saying it in my ear, and so I would believe all of these things, you know, because they were all true. And so I couldn't sit here and argue and say, yes, I could take care of the baby.
How long were you in that car?
2 hours.
Sitting in the parking lot.
Right in front of that door, just waiting, just sitting there. And the whole time, I don't remember silence. So the whole time she was speaking to me, and I said nothing, and I was just nodding my head, agreeing with everything she said because it was the truth.
Let me say, by the way, that that abortion clinic is just down the street from where our ministry is headquartered, Revive Our Hearts. Mm. And for years, there are people in this community who have prayed for and about and around and near that abortion clinic. And as you're telling this story, I can picture the house. I know exactly where it is. I drive past it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just find myself wondering, who was praying that day?
It was December 7th, 1999.
And who had been praying there perhaps in previous days or that day for the young women who were considering having abortions, for that abortionist? We've prayed for the abortion doctor there many times over the years through our ministry, and other churches and ministries in the area have prayed. Mm-hmm. And who was praying for you that day who didn't even know that you were sitting in that parking lot? I want you to listen to Angie's story and to know that your prayers are not in vain. It was God who was keeping your hand on that handle and wouldn't let you open that door. You know that now. Mm-hmm. Of course, you didn't realize that then.
Right, exactly.
What was the point at which you just knew you needed to get off that parking lot?
Right, the moment that I felt like I couldn't open the door, you know, there was that urgent feeling. And then a thought popped into my mind, and I remembered it was a memory of like a year or two before. I was at a football game, and I remember my favorite teacher, you know how you kind of cling to one of the teachers, you know, in your high school. I was standing next to her, and she was talking to a girl younger than myself at the time about a pregnancy care center. And she said, there's this pregnancy care center or something. I don't even remember what she said. I just remember her encouraging that girl to go there for help, you know, and she was pregnant. And that's all I needed. The Lord used that one moment. And so I said, I looked at my friend and I was like, wait a minute, wait. You know, I don't want to do this. I just want to wait. I need to think about it. I can't do this right now. So we'll just kind of keep this under our hats and you know.
Despair. She started the engine and turned around and drove.
And, you know, the street that the pregnancy care center is on is like the main street.
Yeah.
And I drove by this building a million times at least. And I never saw the cute little white sign with the colors, you know. And as we drove by, I glanced over and saw it. And I was like, stop, you know. And she's like, what? And I was like, pull over to the parking lot. And so she looked up and she saw it. And she was like, this is so stupid. Why are you even doing this? You know, like just negative. And so we pulled into the parking lot. I was excited. And I didn't think about it then. But now that I look back, like I changed from something changed. Like I made this choice, even though I didn't know it. My heart made this choice. Like I'm willing to do it if there's hope. And that's all God needs, is a willing heart.
At this point, you didn't know what you were going to do with this baby.
Oh, I had no idea. And I didn't even, I mean, I had, like I had said, I had planned on not keeping the baby. I mean, and my plans were different from the Lord's, obviously. And in my heart, I knew that there was different plans for me. But in my mind, it didn't connect. I knew all these logical explanations for why not to, you know. But when we pulled into that parking lot, I looked at that sign, and I didn't sit there and wait for 2 hours, let me just say that. Mm-hmm. And I got out of the car, and she kind of jokingly like, oh, this should be good, you know, just kind of like mocking me or whatever. Mm-hmm. We walked in, and all of a sudden, that warm, fluffy feeling was gone. There was no nice, sweet aroma. There was no warm invitation from the Lord, and the angels were it didn't feel, I'm sure they were, but it didn't feel like that.
What did it feel like?
All of a sudden, I felt overwhelmed again, but this time, 100 times worse. I felt like
fear?
Fear, this is the wrong thing to do, you shouldn't be here. So it was like, here's, like, you know, the commercial with God on this side and Satan on this side.
That's kind of what it felt like, yeah. You know?
And
I'm just imagining the battle that was going on between heaven and hell for your soul and for the life of that baby.
Mm-hmm. And as I walked in there, the woman,
I didn't say anything. My knees were knocking together. I was so scared. And the woman was at the front desk, and she kind of had this smile like, you're going to be okay. You know, like I remember her smile was kind of like, she could tell I was scared to death. And she handed me the clipboard and was like, have a seat over there.
You probably weren't the first girl to come in there scared to death, or the last.
Probably not, right? And so she handed me the clipboard and I went and sat down. And I just, all I remember was filling out a fake name. And then she called me back up. And I was like, okay, I'm not ready, you know. And so I walked back up and I handed her the clipboard. And I think it was fast. She called me up fast, but I think it's because she knew that if she waited any longer that I'd probably run out.
That's how I felt. You know, I think that she knew that I was really scared. They can sense it, I'm sure, you know. And so I stood there and she took the clipboard. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And there's this weird fear that you have of the unknown. And so I was standing there anxious. And I kind of felt like this is the right place to do. I'm doing the right thing. But then I'm like, I don't know these people. What are they going to do? I'm going in this war. What's going to happen now, you know? And so I stood there. And that's when I met Michelle.
And who was Michelle?
This woman walked out from a room on the side. And she stood there and she shook my hand. And I just looked at her. I don't remember what she said. I can't remember a word. I wish I could tell you some beautiful Bible verse she shared with me or a nice thought from her past. I cannot tell you one word she said to me in that room. All I remember was her eyes. And I remember that I felt so accepted and so safe in that room with her. I don't remember anything she said. I really don't. And she didn't hug me. She didn't hold. I mean, there was no emotional. I mean, it was only the sense that I felt because she wasn't doing anything else. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And I remember looking in her eyes and finding everything that I've been looking for 17 years.
Which and was really the love of God.
It was Jesus. Now that I look back, in that room, in that moment, it was like Jesus was sitting right there, looking in my eyes and declaring the life of his child, his unborn child in my womb. Even though I didn't know him, even though I couldn't recognize his voice or even recognize his face, he somehow found an avenue to speak to me where I could understand him. And when I saw her face, she was so willing to talk to me, but it was like nothing that she even said mattered. It was the fact that she accepted me, and it was the fact that Jesus lived in her, and I could see it, and I just felt so. She didn't even talk about God at all. She didn't say the name of Jesus, nothing. But it was like her being there, and it was like, it wasn't even her, it was Jesus right there in front of me. And I remember her eyes were like the eyes of Jesus on the cross, dying for me. And all I know is that when I was in that room, not one single piece of me wanted to give the baby up. And I didn't even listen to what she said. So I know it was God. Not one part of me anymore, I was gone. All those awful feelings, all of those troubles, all the concerns of my friend, all of the legitimate concerns of my friend, it didn't matter anymore. Because now God presented me with hope. And there was hope through Jesus Christ, and I didn't know it. And in even a time after I left that room, it was hard. I'm not going to say that after I walked out of that room, it was easy and I had this perfect life and God made all of these wonderful, miraculous things happen and I got a job and graduated. No, nothing like that happened. Let me tell you, it was the hardest time of my life after I made that choice to keep that baby.
Did you make the choice right there?
Right there in that moment, I knew that I couldn't do it. And there was no, but it wasn't because the Bible said no. It wasn't because my mom was, you know, urging me to keep the child because she was proactive, you know, nothing like that. It was simply the pure, raw voice of God speaking to my heart, not vocally.
And you didn't even know at that point that that's what that was.
No, I had no, that's the thing. I had no idea what it was. I just sensed something. I thought it was her. I mean, if I would have went any further, I would have made an idol out of her or something, you know, because I had no idea. I had no idea.
So you left with a different course of action than when you came in.
Mm-hmm. When I walked out into the waiting room, my friend was there reading a magazine. She's like, are you ready to go back down the street yet? And because she kind of thought that the people at the pregnancy care center were phony and corny and, you know, they don't really help. They're just there because they need jobs. This is just a place because the state makes people have these kind of businesses because it makes them look. I mean, there was all these ridiculous accusations, you know, towards this place that was, you know, was really a safe house for me. Because that was the first time that I had ever been felt accepted, been accepted and been loved and my whole life.
And when I left that place, my mind was different and my heart was changed in a moment.
Well, we've been hearing the story of a young woman named Angie. And 8 months after she visited the Pregnancy Care Center here in Southwest Michigan, the Lord blessed Angie with a baby boy. Tomorrow, we'll hear about how the Lord took care of Angie and her newborn son. Within that next year, an even more significant birth took place as Angie was reborn and came to faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us here on Revive Our Hearts for the final part of that conversation. Now, I want to take just a moment to update this story and tell you that since Angie and I recorded this interview, that abortion clinic where she sat in the parking lot as a terrified 17-year-old girl just down the road from where I'm sitting right now, that abortion clinic has shut its doors. In fact, they just closed for good a few weeks ago. And I believe with all my heart that that is an answer to prayer that many, many people have prayed over decades as they walked past that abortion clinic, as they've lived in this community. We've prayed and interceded, and I believe God has heard and answered those many prayers. And the Pregnancy Care Center in our area has moved to a new and better facility so that they can more effectively minister to women like Angie. So tomorrow, as we mark the 40th anniversary in the United States of the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade, I'm so thankful for all those who are supporting pregnancy care centers in their areas. I want to say thank you to everyone who has prayed for the ministry of those PCC, to those who volunteer, to those who counsel young women, and to those who support the ministry of their local PCC financially. So let me encourage you to ask the Lord how He might want you to get involved. And Lord, I just want to thank You for the work that You're doing across this nation as the enemy is at work seeking to kill and to destroy and to take life. You are at work at the same time, bringing about faith and new life and in Angie's across this country, women like her. And thank You for the ministry of these pregnancy care centers, for those who labor in this difficult work, those who counsel, those who donate, those who support these ministries in various ways. And Lord, I pray Your blessing on them. And thank You, Lord, for how just in these recent weeks You have closed that abortion clinic in our area so that it will never again be a place where life is taken. But here in this community, there's a place where life can be given, where women can come to hear the gospel, where they can receive help and practical help and counseling and direction and assistance. Thank You, Lord, for the fact that You are a life-giving and redeeming God. And I pray that You'd show us in this land how You might want us to be more involved in helping in these life-giving ministries. We bless You and we give You thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
When our guest Angie discovered she was pregnant, she was disconnected from her family and she had no job, house, or car. But she wasn't alone and she hadn't been forgotten. The father to the fatherless was with her.
I mean, you don't know when you're in that situation what the outcome is going to be, and that's why God is so good, and we need God because we don't know the future. And through your children, you see your need for Christ more. And I could not imagine for one moment not having Him in my life.
Hear the next part of Angie's story tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.